Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
See, every single thing that we are concerned about, every single thing when you turn on the TV tomorrow morning that they will talk about, will all be related to racism, white supremacy as a system. Okay, Donald Trump. I say, meet your next president. See, all kind of people from the time he started talking. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's this. Oh, he won't. All the American people won't accept some. Donald Trump has pulled the hood off of, the sheet off of, the cover off of the system of racism, white supremacy. See, he pulled it off, and he's talking with more clarity than anybody else who all the other candidates quietly are thinking about racism, but they're not talking overtly about it. But Donald Trump is talking. So like I said, Donald Trump's Trump card is the race card in the system of racism, white supremacy. The New York Times editorial today, the Trump effect. See, this is what I'm doing with my money, buying newspapers like Dick Gregory. The Trump effect and how it spreads. It says we are on the brink, under Trump, on the brink of fascism. New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, editorial 1210-2015. I say fascism is end-stage white supremacy. See, just like in Nazi Germany. Fascism, system of racism, white supremacy, determined to survive.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, I guess it would depend on where you are. I'm on the West Coast, Washington State, so here it is 10 p.m., a little after 10 p.m., so it's still Tuesday, November 8th. For folks in the UK, East Coast, it is already Wednesday, November 9th, 2016, so I have been told. If you could let me know if I'm not clear, not broadcasting where generally would be, so I can make an adjustment if I'm not coming in clearly. You can message me on Facebook or Twitter, Gmail. Just let me know at any point during the broadcast. Just let me know, and I'll prompt about that if I am not clear, so we can try and get that resolved. But this is election night, live election night, 2016 presidential election. We are looking forward to hearing from Dr. Niana Rasayan to get some of his thoughts. The results are not in. The results are not in. The latest update, according to what they are presenting, Trump is at 244 votes in the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton is at 215. The magic number is 270. So Trump, if my math is accurate, is about 26 votes short of making Dr. Welsing accurate in her prediction about what was going to happen this evening, this morning. Before we get to Dr. Rasayan, again, prompt about the quality. Let me know if I'm breaking up at any time. That would be super appreciated. The only thing that I want to say, or I guess a couple quick points that I would get in. Man, my hashtag that I have made is LAWB. I'm not going to explain it, but I will confirm if folks want to take a guess at what it means. Feel free. I will confirm if you get it correct, but it is LAWB, my acronym for all of this. White women for Gus T. This is the night that feminism, white male patriarchy, all of that died. And for anyone who thinks that that's odd or curious, particularly if Trump defeats Hillary Clinton, you would think the exact opposite. No way. You had tons of white women who could have easily mobilized. I see white women mobilized for all kinds of things. Taking down Bill Cosby, taking down Tiger Woods. I mean, hey, you demonstrate white women all the time. They get things done. They could have mobilized and went out for Team HRC and got this thing wrapped up. I was telling someone earlier, this here thing was done. They didn't have all this suspense. I think the last three presidential elections, it was already done by this time. Both times for President Obama, and in 2004 when President Bush was re-elected. It was already done by this time. We didn't have to sit around until the wee hours of the morning to see what the result was going to be. But white women, oh man, all that talk about he groped this person and he's a, you know, a brute and a misogynist and what he feels about women and the way he disrespected Megyn Kelly and oh my gosh. And if he wins, oh my gosh, I do not want to hear anything. Like, for me, this will be the total end of white women are slaves or we are put down. Like, I will never entertain that again. You all could have wrapped this here thing up. And clearly there had to be a lot of white women, even for Trump to do this well, even if he doesn't win, for him to do this well, that to me just logic dictates a lot of white women had to support Donald Trump and or not voting for Hillary Clinton. But I think just logic dictates a lot of white women had to vote for Donald Trump. Let me know if I'm not making sense, if I'm not being clear, or if I'm not being logical. Next, I didn't get a chance to look to see the cannabis initiatives, but I will stick by what I said earlier today. I think all five initiatives, all in all five states where they're voting on whether to have legal recreational cannabis, I think it's going to pass. That is something to check in on, and I will also check to see how David Duke did in Louisiana in his race. I didn't get an opportunity to check. Before I get to Dr. Rasayan, just one last thing that I do want to make sure that I really emphasize. I began the broadcast with Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, and I think it is just a colossal loss not having her here this evening to analyze everything that has taken place throughout this campaign, what's taking place this evening. The shock that many people are reporting, even that it's this close, that Trump is in the lead, and it's this close to winning the White House, to explain all of that. I mean, it just cannot be overstated, the tragedy of not having her with us to offer her insight. But I definitely think she does, even though she was not about this at all, and I'm not about this either, I just think I see the value in terms of counter-racist science. As a counter-racist scientist, you make predictions, right? That's a part of what you do as a scientist. You come up with a hypothesis that you test, and or you make a prediction based on you have a theory, you have a concept, you have a way of understanding what's happening with human behavior. So you begin to make predictions about things that are going to happen based on your understanding. I don't remember it. I mean, call me on it immediately, right now. The number, Dr. Rossellon, we'll start with you as soon as I am done. We will get you on the line here. The number, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate, and for sure get your hand up if I am talking nutty. But I do not recall there being like a legion of people saying like a year ago, towards the end of 2015, before the primaries even began, saying Donald Trump is going to be president. I do not remember white people, non-white people. I do not remember that. Dr. Welsing, that audio clip that you heard, that was from her last presentation at the Cress Welsing Institute on the campus of Howard University in December of 2015, where she said she was confidently, based on her understanding of white supremacy racism, predicting that Donald J. Trump was going to have a successful evening. That, I think, just, it is important not just to brag and boast or anything, but just the scholarship, the brilliant, the genius, and the accuracy in terms of her understanding the system of white supremacy to make a prediction like that based on her understanding of the behavior of individuals who classify themselves as white. That, I think, it just, it should not be minimized. It should not be understated. And Gus T. Renegade, in fact, was not late on this. I wrote a 12-page paper about this titled Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Donald J. Trump, and the Reconstruction of White Supremacy. I thought it would have been published by now so I could be cool and then, boop, post the link and then it would be there. But as of yet, it has not been published. But hopefully at this point, if Donald J. Trump does win, then that can be like one of the top stories. So more people will check it out because it's basically just, I wouldn't say an homage, but it basically allows Dr. Welsing to speak for herself. I was able to use a lot of quotes from different interviews that she gave over the years to what I hope is an effort to explain why she was able to confidently predict that Trump was going to win tonight. But I think that's hugely important. And in fact, that's where we will pick up with our guest. Been with us many times before, author, one of our favorites. Folks always love having him on the program, so they will be tickled because this was not planned at all. I just contacted him yesterday and asked if he would be willing to share a few thoughts on the election in the event that Trump is successful. And he said, absolutely. Joining us live, Dr. Niana Rossellon. You're with us. Good, sir.
Top of the day, my brother. This is definitely, it's almost like Dr. Welsing was operating out of some kind of prophetic insight, particularly when she made reference to fascism. And I mean, the only well-known fascist that most Americans can sink their teeth into their memory banks and come up with is Benito Mussolini. You know, and it seems like if in fact Trump is ushered into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we are certainly setting ourselves up to hear a lot of that classic response that everybody knows Trump always uttered in one of his famous television programs, you're fired. And so you can rest assured that there will be a number of people that his administration will definitely dump. And I'm pretty sure that will probably include, he'll make an aggressive effort to do what he said he was going to do about the Obama health care protocol. But why don't I be quiet and allow you to just ask me things, because a lot of people, unfortunately, are in shock. Though I'm not in shock. I've heard black people say everything from, I'm going to go to bed praying. I'm in shock. I don't know what we're going to do. But the fact of the matter is, as you've always alluded to on any number of occasions, a lot of us are not comfortable talking about racism. And the fact that this country is divided as it is, overtly right before our eyes right now, we've known it's been divided for the longest. But it's in our face right now. We aren't able to ignore the fact that America, in spite of all the illusions of freedom that she creates for people of color, what's the brother's name? Kaepernick, the quarterback from the 49ers, the way he was pretty much short of being tarred and feathered for the position that he took, not standing up to the national anthem. All these things are right in our face right now to tell us where we attempt to navigate life. The most generic response would be where we live, but I prefer to say where we attempt to navigate life. We live in a racist society, and as you just stated very clearly, Caucasian women, vanilla women, had a latitude to rally their resources and say, no way in the world we're going to allow Trump to get in the White House. But as you just finished very, very eloquently reiterating, they apparently sat back and went on a ride and endorsed the tour as he was sort of systematically stringing together all of the red in the United States of America to be people that are definitely bona fide Trump supporters. So I'll be quiet and make an effort to try and concretize some of the things that I just sort of globally alluded to.
For sure. And listeners, if you all have questions for Dr. Rasayan, or if you have, you know, experiences, I said this on my Facebook page earlier today, if folks had experiences voting or being harassed about not voting, to share, and quite a few people had interesting responses. So if you want to share on air, feel free to do that as well. Gus was not in the shocked boat. I am not praying. I'm not stunned. I'm not surprised. I tried my best to be a student of Dr. Welsing. I guess kind of an opening point. Can you stress, and I probably wouldn't do this if it was any other guest or any other topic. I think that would be kind of incorrect to invite someone on and then to have the first question to be in reverence to someone else. But I think, you know, under these circumstances, just Dr. Welsing, her prediction, I think that's so important, is so critical, and should be acknowledged that she was saying this, as I said, she was saying this before the primaries had even begun, when people were saying that it was a joke, that it was totally laughable that he was even in the campaign, much less that he could win some primaries, you know, not to mention to get to this point, 26 votes from the White House, 26 electoral college votes. Just can you talk about the importance of Dr. Welsing's prediction?
You know, when you reminded me what she had said and the clip you just played that made reference to fascism, and I made a reference to Benito Mussolini, you know, I told you when we did the show, I think perhaps the last show we did, we were paying homage to her and acknowledging her. We talked about her and we talked about Prince. We talked about Muhammad Ali. Dr. Welsing, it's kind of a challenge to speak of someone that is so well trained in Western science, a doctor of everything that we recognize that would give one the right to talk about how the human brain and the human mind supposedly operates. And then to add to that, to have these kinds of prophetic insights. Because Dr. Welsing clearly said, with redundancy, that these folk were on this reactive trail to remind people that they were so angered that Barack Obama was the president, that white America would do anything. Remember how the sale of guns went up, particularly like high-powered firearms, high-velocity pistols. I mean, all those things went up. And Dr. Wilson talked about these things over and over again. And the challenge is to get other, quote-unquote, educated black and brown people to understand what's at stake. Dr. Wilson understood all of this. I'm also a little challenged in my own psyche to fathom how is it that the last program that she did, she kind of amplified this message, and then within 60 days in January, she crossed over in 2016 because she made that last, I think, unless there was a compilation of speeches she put together, and in December of 2015, when she was very, very clear about the power that Donald Trump could wield in a society as racist as America. And it's very obvious right now that Dr. Wilson was able to look across this country and look into the history of America and look into the politics of America and reiterate her position that she has always conveyed to us. America is a racist country, and the theme and the thesis around the system of white supremacy is alive and well. Now, not only is it alive and well, it's reinventing itself and also laying out the stakes to say how she plans to act consistently, definitively, in our face with her racist practices. Because some of the things that Donald Trump alluded to, unless someone in his yet-to-be-announced cabinet, if he in fact does become the president, other than being at a loss of words, I'm challenged to try and figure out how to convey the importance of what has happened and is in the process of happening in America, even if he doesn't get that 270. Because when you look at the number of people that voted, this country is totally, completely divided. If you look at the geography of the state, the topography, the landmass of the state, it's like about 80%. Of the U.S. is red, even though there are numbers of people that outnumber those states that don't have a lot of people in terms of masses, you know, on the East Coast and on the West Coast. But the core of America is red, and all of those people are in Donald Trump's corner. So that says to you very clearly, America's racist as hell. We are the ones that are in denial, trying to figure out what would be the most politically correct language to use to talk about how racist she is, and that racism translates into what we've always said all along. This is a system of white supremacy. And for my pro-black people that think that white supremacy means that white people are supreme, it doesn't mean that. It means that they are in a position to control all of the resources to dictate to other people how they are able to navigate their lives. So I applaud the Sister Spirit, and I know in her place of being able to oversee us and Duat, the place where the great spirits go when they join the ancestors, she's probably like scanning across, looking upon us with, hey, when will my people awaken to the world they live in and realize that the world that they live in every day is becoming more and more of a nightmare?
Should be on display now. Context of white supremacy. Definitely appreciate and acknowledge. We should be here tomorrow with Pam Trojan Horse, Publications author. I'm sure she'll have a word or two on Dr. Welsing as well. But I definitely appreciate it and wanted to make sure we just acknowledged her spirit and again her brilliance as a counter-racist scientist with her prediction, regardless of what the results are. I can't think of too many people that were even in the ballpark with the prediction. One thing that I did want to say before I got to my next question, I think Dr. Wilson would also appreciate making it plain. I think she would emphasize that it is not that Americans are racist. She would say individuals who classify themselves as white are dedicated to white supremacy racism for their genetic survival. I think that's the way she would probably articulate it.
I think it's timely that you clarify that, and it's very clear that you actually spell out those details of it. And if I could echo it with this particular thematic tone,
there are so many melanin recessive humans in America that embrace all of the benefits of being classified as white, that they could care less about engaging the conversation other than intellectual masturbation of, I'm talking about it. However, my incentive to act on how it impacts other people is of marginal significance. I will talk about it, but as they talk about it, they still will continue to move on. I wish I knew the brother's name that spoke at the opening of the African American Museum here in Washington, D.C. He pretty much said in a nutshell that, I mean, what do you expect? You know, I mean, white folk have benefited from the work of black people for free for over 300 years. So naturally, they would have more tangible resources than a lot of us have. And we are definitely unattached to reality. We think they're going to give it up. Are you following what I'm saying? So at most, they may acknowledge that there are things that happen in this country that are unfair to brown and black people. But they certainly are not inclined to give up those kinds of things that they've benefited from living in a society that's exploited the hell out of brown and black people ever since they crawled out of the Caucasus Mountains and came over to this great land called Turtle Island and christened it as the populace as Indians because Chris was lost. So they're not willing to give that up at all. They may just acknowledge it verbally that they are surprised or they are appalled, but as far as holding your hand and acting on it, I think that's unlikely to happen.
Okay. With regards to, I guess, just some of the initial analysis, speculation about things that have happened or what might happen over the next 12 hours as all of this concludes, I've seen quite a few reports where people are saying that they're surprised, they're stunned, they're shocked that Trump has done this well, that it's even this close, even if Hillary Clinton does win in a state like Utah, right, where they said that he was going to struggle so much because the Mormons just would not support him, that his values clash. Trump wins Utah. If it's not racism, white supremacy, I tweeted that the religion of white supremacy trumped the Mormon religion in Utah. If that's not what happened, what is your speculation as to why Trump was able to snatch a state like Utah?
Your thesis. Now, when you really get down to it, what's the guy's name that was running for president? He was a Mormon, right?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, right? Mormon, right?
Right.
Isn't he a Mormon?
Yes, sir.
In my understanding, Mormons, basically, they believe in polygamy, correct?
As I understand it, yes, sir.
Okay, so put in perspective, back to the thesis of Dr. Wilson. When you really get down to the bottom line of genetic survival, brown and black people continue to present themselves as able to have more children readily than Caucasians because they're becoming sterile all over the planet. And not only are they becoming sterile, their numbers are so small that they are, as Dr. Wilson has always said, they're in fear of their genetic annihilation because when you really break it down, they make up less than about 8.5% of the entire population of people on the planet. Now, how does that relate to Mormons? You would think that the basic tenets of individuals being a Mormon would say, like, you can have more than one wife. Now, we have fertility clinics all over the place for Caucasian people. Fertility clinics, sperm banks and things like that. But nobody's interested in creating new brown and black babies. But everybody's interested in creating Caucasian children because, i.e., genetic annihilation. So the bottom line is, I don't think, quite frankly, that they either A, gave a damn, or two, it crossed my mind. The last time I voted, I had a little card I could stick inside of a little miniature kind of computer console, and I could actually see on the screen who I voted for. This time I had a nice white sheet of paper, about an 11 by 12 piece of paper, or 11 by 13, and you slid it into the machine, you fed it into it, and it said it was received. But I still couldn't see exactly who I voted for with those little dots on that paper. All right. Now, what I'm saying, the reason why I'm bringing this up, and I know this does not directly relate to the Mormons, but it relates to the first thing that popped in my head was, how do I know that what I actually put in this machine is really calibrated or tabulated to represent what I put in the machine? Even if it was lying to show me on the screen that this is what I put in the screen, I didn't get anything other than I stuck my paper in there. And knowing what I know about computers and how people do things, I've never trusted anything that the white America says is basically transparent for us, is fair, we're going to make sure everybody can be trusted, and those kinds of things. I only brought that up because the way Trump is winning all these states, if it's not the system of white supremacy, that's why I said it's not really a big deal about Mormons in Utah, because it's all over America. All right? I think the only people that are probably genuinely in some kind of shock are the people outside of the U.S. They're wondering how could something like this happen after they've seen the things that this potential president said and has done and has advocated. For him to be winning the way he's winning throughout all of America would make people wonder, like, what the hell is going on with the people that live in America? I know Canada has to be in shock. I know the people of France have to be in shock. You follow me? So as far as picking out that little small group of people in Utah Mormons, again, this might sound a little disconnected from the fundamental tenets of their beliefs, but I don't think they give a damn. Because when you really look at the realities of what happens to brown and black people, I don't know too many brown and black people that are actually connected with them, if you follow my logic. I don't think they give a damn. And I think that's what's happening in their little small part of the U.S. is probably insignificant, given the kinds of things that Caucasian women could have done to say that no way in the world we're going to allow a person like this to be so close to moving into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., that they didn't even take a stand. But let me flip the script for a second. If the numbers had been reversed, if Hillary had 244 and Trump had 215, and then it came down to the wire with something like about maybe 250, and Hillary had something like about 280 or something like that, I think the people that support Trump would be raising hell in the streets. We'd damn near have to turn every major southern state into a police state because they would believe that everything was tampered with. You follow me? So even though I personally dislike the way things are unfolding, I'm not disturbed by it. Because I think that if it had gone in the other direction or had been a close call with her winning, I think we would have to call out National Guard in a number of states, because white folk with guns are not passive. White folks with guns can be very active, and particularly hillbillies with less than a high school education, they can be very reactive and very volatile. And again, as I've always told you, redirect me when you want to steer me to a particular train of thought. Because otherwise, I may be all over the map.
Okay. The latest results, Trump is at 264. So he is 6 Electoral College votes from taking the White House. I was checking the news at the BBC outlets before it got the latest tally. And they were just reporting surprise about all of this and being stunned. You should have get you a copy of the ISIS papers and read up on your Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, and you would not have been surprised by any of this. I wanted to also ask, because I think this is equally important, 2 points. The first, wow, which do I think is more important? This will emphasize priorities. The first, which I think is equally important in telling this story. I don't know how much attention this will get in mainstream media. This is something I would encourage people to pay attention to. This should be one of the main stories over the next 24 hours to explain what I would think is one of the most historic elections ever in the history of the U.S. White women, and I'm emphasizing white women specifically because they have done such a good job emphasizing that black female support. Support Hillary Clinton. So this, I'm exclusively talking about white women. We've had so many campaigns of outrage about Bill Cosby, about Nate Parker, toxic masculinity. We've had so much talk about that emphasized. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with discussing these issues. I'm just saying that that has been a crucial point over the last 30 days, especially within the presidential campaign, about Donald Trump and these comments that he's made, lewd comments about groping females, and just tons of people saying this is totally inappropriate, not presidential at all. There's no way we can support him, and females in particular. You know, this guy is just, you know, the epitome of misogyny and patriarchy, toxic masculinity. How can we support him? And now we're six electoral college votes from President-elect Trump. I think, just logic, as I said, dictates white women particularly had to vote for Donald Trump. Not all, but a sizable chunk of white women had to be lying about all this outrage, and then they went in that booth and pulled the lever for Donald Trump. Am I talking crazy? Just can you emphasize this point?
It's obvious that you're not talking crazy. All you have to do is look at the number of people that are registered to vote and then look at the ratio of men to women that vote. I mean, it's common sense. I mean, he didn't get this number of electoral votes just because a group of redneck guys that drink beer and sit around coolers and shoot at vermin with their little shotguns and stuff on the weekend in southern states. I mean, this is national. All of these things bespeak the reality of where we live. That's why I said to you, and it's kind of a challenge to say this sometimes, because I do know a number of vanilla brothers and sisters and Caucasian people, and I like to think that they are basically anchored people. But the reality is, back to what Dr. Wilson said, it's not the person that's necessarily bad. It's just that the system is set up to sort of safeguard and or minimize genetic annihilation of Caucasian people. And a species that has any kind of cognitive capacity, a frontal lobe functioning, will do every damn thing within its power or resources to stay alive in order not to become extinct. So when you look at them as a collective body of people, I shared with you before, a lot of people will not utter out of their mouths that they think that they are racist. And most they might say something like, well, I have some prejudices. And then they'll say, well, you have your prejudices too. But I haven't got to tell you, prejudice doesn't translate into who can live where and who's going to have a job and who's going to have access to stability in life and who's going to be incarcerated. It takes a system to do that. And for this man to have the kind of leverage that he has and to have this kind of almost making the door ajar to move into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, clearly white America had to sign off on this. Because, I mean, Hillary ran around with everybody she could get her hands on to basically try and recruit the votes of brown and black people by bringing in every artist that she could probably get her hands on. And rather than talk about how she campaigned, I prefer to point out where we live. We live in a society that embraces a system of white supremacy, and by its very nature, it is designed to not just malign and marginalize. It's designed to basically create an atmosphere for our demise as a people, particularly in terms of numbers. It's a slow process of decimating brown and black people throughout the planet. And I don't know any other way to put it. Dr. Wilson, I mean, she called it just like she had a crystal ball. She's always called it with accuracy. My challenge is, as I just mentioned to you a little while ago, how is it and why is it that educated black people were so challenged and so removed from the reality that Dr. Wilson tried to constantly remind us of when she was incarnate on this planet among us, having her free seminars over at Howard University to try and remind us of where we live. Brother, we are still going through what Dr. George Brewer always reminded us of. Bottom line, post-traumatic slavery disorder, post-traumatic slavery syndrome, we are in denial of where we live. And as long as we stay in denial, we will continue to be what Curtis Mayfield said, uneducated fools from uneducated schools.
Context of white supremacy. The other point that I think is equally important, and that I think some people, I saw that Van Jones was on talking before, and just in my view, this should not be talked about as though this is painful. I think all of this, the main crux of this should be that a lot of white women lied about this. And then in general, a lot of white people lied. White women in particular should be called out because there was so much outrage from them around all of this. But white people in general, there were a lot of white people. And that was one of the main reasons. I was very proud. I said this before. I was confident. This was a difficult election to call. So I was not super, super confident that Trump was going to win, even with Dr. Welsing's commentary. I think it took me until about April or May before I started saying, yeah, I think Trump is going to win, even saying president-elect, if folks remember. But it took me around April or May before I was very confident that confident enough to be saying publicly, yeah, I think Trump is going to win. But a part of it was, a significant part of it was for me, and this is in the article that I wrote that hasn't been published, that I think white people lie so much. Karma says that all the time. She really emphasizes it. Mr. Fuller emphasizes that the primary method of maintaining white domination over non-white people is deception. I thought a lot of white people were lying. I thought that they would not publicly say that they were going to vote for Trump because they didn't want to sound racist, right? So I'm going to vote anybody. Pick anybody. I'm going to vote for Gary Johnson. I'm going to vote third. I'm going to vote for Clinton, or I'm going to abstain to anything. When they get in that booth, then they're going to vote for Trump. I said I thought that there was all... Oh, go ahead, Dr. Rossi.
See, back up again. Keep in mind, people, first of all, Obama has a beautiful wife. She's clearly African in her features. She's black. People like to say African-American. You're not able to look at the first lady and say, wow, I wonder if she could pass. You know you are looking at a melanin-dominant woman when you look at her. You'd be surprised how many women were throwing Michelle shade because she's a black woman, married to the president, she enjoys being a black woman, she embraces the values of black womanhood. There were a whole bunch of Caucasian women that would look at her and say, oh, I like the way she looks, she's shady, she's this and that. But behind closed doors, they were jealous and they were angry. You have to also be mindful of the fact of what you said they lie. They won't say lying. Would prefer to think that they were unconscious of their biases, or they might be in denial about their biases, or they were not really aware of their biases. And then they're going to give you some kind of intellectual commentary about how we all have biases and things that we're in touch with. You just said it right. I'll say it again. He wouldn't be where he is now if white women were not voting for him. I told you, I've repeated. Man did not get in the position that he's in because of a group of hillbillies sitting back drinking beer, hanging around coolers in the Bible Belt. This is all over USA. When you look at a map, you'll see it. You're going to see it in every newspaper. Everybody's going to show you the red and the blue and the whole nine yards. Now keep in mind, it's still a remote, very remote possibility that the script could flip. But it doesn't matter if the script does flip. The reality is America is completely, totally divided. And she is divided in her actions. She's divided in her beliefs. Her actions are, she's racist as hell, but she wants to tell you she's not. Secondly, her beliefs are, she likes to think that she's a fair place and gives everybody a fair opportunity. But the way they pitch some of the things that they pitched, like the time they spent talking about Hillary Clinton's emails, as if the relationship that Donald Trump apparently was cultivating with Putin wouldn't take precedence over whether or not her email has some kind of miscellaneous storyline in it. Those kinds of things, the media fan for a story, they fan for a story, and as you and I, we may not know, we may never find out. There could be a lot of shady crap going on behind closed doors to allow this thing to happen. Like you say, people lie so much. They deceive so much. It's just like if you go to MSNBC News and CNN News, you're going to probably find something like 240-something on CNN and maybe 265 or 260, whatever, on MSN News versus CNN will have something like 247. So you don't know what you're getting because the media, they play games with us, and we sit back and we believe what we see in the media. And the bottom line is this, man. The kind of crap that this man said about women, how he would treat women, what he would do to women, the kind of language that he used, this is the one concern that I think probably will, it's not a concern, this is the one thought that I have that I think that might put some things in perspective. I don't think that a third or half the stuff that Donald Trump said to get the kind of attention that he got during his campaign, he actually intends to act on. Because he is smart enough in his ignorance to surround himself with people smart enough to do his bidding. And during the last few days of his campaign, he was smart enough to stay on the teleprompter to try to stay on script. And I'm also suggesting to you that he may present himself as a little bit more humble and diplomatic if, in fact, he is ushered in to be the president of the United States of America. And the other thing that you have to be mindful of, a lot of brown and black people don't want to accept, America is not a democracy. America is a corporation. She is a conglomerate. She is a phenomenal business entity. That's what this country is. It's a corporation. It's a business entity. It is not a democracy. And people need to understand that. And when people run a business, they run a business with two primary objectives. Profit. Satisfying their stockholders. Profit. Now, beneath that profit is that classic cliche, killing two birds with one stone, population control. You pick up this National Geographic, you're going to see them talking about moving to Mars. Who do they want to prioritize to stay alive? Population control all over the planet. So all these things inherit in a society that may not call itself a fascist society, but that is the unspoken objective. You just can't run around and tell people what you're planning on doing to them.
Context of white supremacy. I want to see if we can nab some of our callers. I know it's late for some of the folks on the East Coast. We are lurching forward towards 2 a.m., but I suspect a lot of people are staying up for the election worldwide. This is pretty big news. The number again is 641-715-3640, and the code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. According to the latest tally, Trump again is 6 Electoral College votes from claiming the White House. 6, 264 to 215. Also, cannabis initiatives, California, Nevada, Massachusetts have all legalized recreational use of cannabis. All of those states, and I'm trying to get the information to see about Arizona. There were two other states as well, but California, Nevada, Massachusetts, all legalized recreational cannabis. David Duke did not do well in Louisiana. He is not even in the top two. He is losing badly in Louisiana, former Klansman who is just at an HBCU. Our caller in Canada, I have no idea what you are doing on the line as this has nothing to do with you at all. Did you have a question for Dr. Rassayan? You should be with us.
I'm actually in the States now, so it kind of does. But I had a question.
You're a visitor. We can kick you out anytime.
That's true. My question for the guest is, and I wonder just because of how, just seeing the sort of confusion in how Canadians are responding, not realizing that some of the policies Trump pushes are things Canadian prime ministers continue to do, which amazes me. Do you think that having Trump could lessen the confusion that black people have in America as opposed to Clinton? Or is it going to, do you just see the same thing happening in regards to black confusion about racism?
Gus, you're going to have to like amplify or rephrase this question for me because I'm trying to get the gist of it. I heard him make a reference to what's happening in Canada. And I don't have enough knowledge to speak about what's going on in Canada, but I would say that I'm pretty sure white supremacy is worldwide. His question, you need to like reiterate that okay. For me or condense so I can understand what he's asking.
He said that there were some Canadians who I guess were not willing to acknowledge that there are Canadian politicians who have policies that are very similar to what Trump has been advocating. But his question was if I'm understanding it correctly, do you think if Trump wins, do you think that that will help more non-white people get clarity about what racism, white supremacy is, or do you think it will just make us more confused? Would that be an accurate summation of your question, sir?
Yes, yes. Sorry for the lack of clarity. Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's not a matter of your question lacking clarity. It's my inability to encode what you're asking. Now, I'll try to respond this way. Unfortunately, a lot of our people, brown and black people in the U.S., we are more religious than we are spiritual. And because we are more religious than we are spiritual, a lot of brown and black people, even our Latino brothers and sisters, they're going to operate out of, like, what is God trying to tell us that this man is likely to move into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Now, what I do know about Canada in general, I mean, there are a lot of provinces and places in Canada that are also just racist as hell in terms of how they treat brown and black people. Because I'm sure you guys have your share of issues up there as well, all right? The bottom line is, I think that our people are so confused collectively that we are going to be in shock for a while until we begin to see if, in fact, Trump moves into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, what he's actually going to start attempting to reversing in terms of the Obama presidency. So I think we're going to be in shock for a while. Probably the first 60 to 90 days we'll be in shock, all right? That also begs the issue of what Gus just mentioned about making recreational cannabis available. Now, some people call that word recreation, but in America, we pronounce it as recreational, and that's exactly what it does. It wrecks, and I'm not knocking ganja because alcohol is equally as bad in any drug if it's not used in moderation. But the bottom line is, I think they're giving us another form of sedatives. It's not like opium in China, but they're making more things available to us to sedate us, while they continue to redirect us by saying it's okay for you now to go and smoke and drink and chill out, to sort of like sedate you from the reality of what's likely to be on the horizon. Because there are so many of us that are completely oblivious to the greater or the larger agenda of population control. And I think that's one of the main things that's going on. So as far as our people are concerned and what's happening in Canada, we're already confused, very confused. And I think we'll spend more time debating and intellectualizing about our confusion and how this could happen. It's sort of like Gus pointing out, like, Caucasian women obviously went to the polls and voted for Donald Trump, number one. So we might talk about that for a while. But the reality is, where is our plan? What will we do to better navigate our lives dealing in an environment that is clearly designed to undermine everything that we attempt to do as a people? I hope that sheds a little light on it.
Caller in Canada, did you have another question?
Nope, that was it. I'll go back to mind my business.
Right on, right on. Focus on your own country. Let's see, always good to hear from you, sir. The caller, other caller on the Vote line, did you have a question for Dr. Rasayan?
Yes, I did. I would notice during this election, like with the Facebook and different social media, that like a lot of things are popping up on my timeline, like go out and vote, and they would have a picture of a black man being hung, or go out and vote, they'll show someone getting hosed down, or go out and vote, you know, some dogs biting on some people waiting in line to vote. And this was all during, you know, the civil rights area and all that stuff. And the same thing was going on with tragic arrangements back then. If you were talking to a white girl or even looked at a white girl like Emmett Till, the same thing was going on. And my question to you is, now in 2016, and from listening to Dr. Weldon and Mr. Fuller, I understand that a tragic arrangement is wrong all the way. And completely. And now that I understand that was wrong, and coming straight out of slavery, if you keep anything from anyone, they'll want it just because they want to feel equal. Like, you, most black men wanted a white girl so they can feel equal to the white man. But if they did, they would get hung. Same thing with voting. You wanted to vote.
Do you have a question? That is a fascinating.
Yes, I do.
That is a fact. I just want to make sure I get in. That is a fascinating metaphor. Comparing voting to being restricted from getting a white woman. That is a fascinating analogy.
Same thing would happen. What I'm saying
just,
is...
What's your question, sir? Could you get to your question? Thank you.
Yes. Do you think by us voting, I know by us being with white women, it shows our confusion, how many of us are confused. Do you think by us voting is evidence of our confusion, or maybe it's... or how many of us are confused? It's a way of them keeping log of our confusion. Do you think that maybe?
I think that melanin dominant people are so desperate, and I think it's inherent in our nature to try to honor the laws of reciprocity, because collectively as a people, we believe in, you might say, the greater good. We believe in trying to do right by our brothers and sisters. And I think that in that desperation, that anything that the system puts in front of us and tells us that it probably will give us an opportunity to have some parity, I think in our desperation, we reach out and try to use those tools. And in our efforts to use those tools, I think that it gives us that brief moment of, I had some input into actually trying to make a difference in what happens in society. With that in mind, I also think that that makes us think that we've done our share, or we've done what we are supposed to do, rather than take actions on a daily basis to call down the system of white supremacy. Even at the level of isolated fraternities and organizations like the Association of Black Psychologists, Black Politicians, Black Fraternities and Sororities, taking a position to say, this system is a system of racism and white supremacy. So we're so desperate, we try to do everything by the book. But the bottom line is, the book isn't written for us. The book did not have us in mind when they coined the Constitution to talk about who would have rights. Remember, we weren't even, I don't even know what, was three-fifths? We weren't even considered human. We were animals. And right now we are being relegated to that position again. It doesn't matter. This is who we are as a people. We are a compliant group of individuals that thinks that a system that's designed for our demise somehow will translate. I think they're getting ready to allow Hillary to acknowledge that they're either losing or whatever. I don't really know. But the bottom line is, I think that we are so sick as a people, and that sickness has created in us a kind of a learned helplessness. It's like, we're going to try it this way. We're going to try it that way. We're going to try it that way. And none of those ways work. So back to the reference that I made about making marijuana legal in so many places. So when things don't work and people are in pain, what do? People sedate themselves. They go out and do things that will keep them from seeing the world that they really live in. It's a reason why black people call sunglasses shades. We don't want to be in the light. We don't want to see the light. We don't want the light in our face. Because when the light is around us, we have to see what's in front of us. And ganja, in my opinion, though it has a lot of medicinal benefits, I think a lot of us, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to want to jump somebody's bones, have some real intense sex, drink a little bit, or go to church and pray, or smoke a joint. Because this stuff is going to be confusing to a lot of black and brown people. But like Gus was alluding to, I don't think it's going to be confusing to white women at all, because they know what they did in the voting booth. They know exactly what they did.
Right on. Caller, I muted you because there was a little bit of echo on the vote line. I'm going to come back to you. Just let me get our other folks who dialed in with questions. The caller at 3246. Did you have a question for Dr. Rasayan? Last four digits, 3246. 3246. Did you have a question? Okay, I will assume you are just listening. The caller at 8944. 8944. Did you have a question for Dr. Rasayan?
Yes, I did. Hello, and I just want to say I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener of the show. My first question is, do you have any advice for going into the workplace and dealing with the victory of Donald Trump?
The term, I know it's going to sound kind of like disconnected from reality or not even being familiar with the English lexicon. Help me understand, when you say victory, you mean him actually getting electoral college and apparently winning the presidency? That's what you mean when you say victory, correct?
Yes, winning the presidency.
Okay. The advice that I would have, particularly that you work in an environment that's predominantly skewed toward melanin recessive people, is I would do what I usually do. I minimize my conversation with my vanilla brothers and sisters unless I absolutely have something to say to them. I wouldn't initiate any conversations. If somebody wanted to talk to me, I would be a straight-up psychologist. If they ask me a question, and you know, I was thinking the same thing. I wonder, what is your view on that? You follow me? I wouldn't talk a lot about anything in terms of reaching down inside of me and disclosing. I would let them talk. I would create an exchange to allow them to disclose whatever it is that they think that they can get out of me. I'd like to see what their perspectives are on it. That's what I would do. And that's
right,
the advice that I would give any brown and black person. There was a book written a long time ago, and I'm not going to quote the title because I think it has the N-word in it. But one of the things about that book, it had a line in it, and it went something like this. It said that if you want to end a conversation with a white person, start asking them questions and minimize your answers to the questions that they ask. So when you start asking them questions, the conversation gets shorter. But when they ask you questions, the conversation go on and on and on. They will milk you. Because I think that a lot of brown and black people probably did, in my opinion, I think it was less than 7% of the people that actually supported and endorsed Donald Trump. Because I remain perplexed to this day. I have yet to fathom how my homeboy from Detroit, Dr. Ben Carson, became an advocate for Donald Trump. I don't know if he smelled so much stuff during surgery or if somebody gave him a compound, anesthesiologist put something in his body, and he's just tired and in brain drain. I don't really know. But I do know that he's a brilliant neurosurgeon, and he's a very knowledgeable person. But I was perplexed to fathom where his wisdom had gone when he actually went on the trail to campaign for Donald Trump after Donald Trump said that, I don't even know the guy. I mean, who is he? And I mean, Donald Trump just marginalized and dismissed everybody. So if I were to go into an environment, and I work in an environment that is probably skewed more toward international people and people of color than Caucasians, I would literally take the position when people come up to talk to me, even some black folk, I would ask them, so what do you think? And psychologists are known to ask open-ended questions. I'm a neuroscientist, but I'm also a clinical psychologist. I'm like, I'm curious to know what are your thoughts on it. And then you might get the generic one, well, what do you think we should do? You know, I just ask you, I'm wondering, what do you think we should do? And I listen and see what they say.
Right on. Thank you for everything, and thank you for your time and effort. Roger, I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Appreciate that, sir. The caller, I'm just checking in. The caller at 3246, last four digits, 3246. Are you just listening? Okay. I will assume you're just listening. They had a report from folks at the Hillary Clinton campaign. Trump is at 266 from last I checked. He has four electoral college votes from the presidency from what I last saw. But they had a report. They were talking about the gloom in the Clinton campaign. They said among her supporters in front on stage where Clinton was scheduled to speak Tuesday night was Ronnie Jacobson, who said she is a neighbor of the Clintons in Chappaqua, New York. I think she's going to do this, but it's a nail biter, said Jacobson. She and her friend Lori Levy, also from Chappaqua, lamented the fact that the campaign appeared to have underestimated the number of hidden Trump voters. People wouldn't admit to voting for him in the polls, but they went ahead and did it, said Levy. Duh, you should have listened to Dr. Welsing. I also wanted to make sure I ask, and if folks have other questions or, you know, a comment that you want to get in, particularly if you want to share about your voting experience, that would definitely be appreciated. If anything happened, or, you know, if you were harassed for not voting, as I said, also, Mr. Fuller made a really interesting comment. This was around the 2012 election when Mitt Romney was up. And he said that, in his view, for a lot of whites, just the fact that President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, their children, just the fact that you've had these niggers shacking up in the Oval Office for almost a decade, that the White House has been defiled. Like, the whole thing just needs to be torn down, fumigated. It's not even fit to have a white man, or even a white woman for that matter, in the office since this nigra has defiled it for almost a decade. And I thought, wow, how about if it needs to be defiled, if the whole thing has been sullied, how about then we don't even take it seriously? We put in some person who is not even qualified, who's not a politician. We'll just put them in office because, you know, this is not even a serious position anymore now that this nigra has had it. What do you think about that?
That's what Nellie Fuller said.
I'm just saying he did not add Donald Trump to it, but the whole thing about the White House being devalued, yes, he said that. I am just adding on to that, that a part of that devaluation could be, we'll have Donald Trump to follow President Obama because it's worthless anyway, so we can put somebody that's not even a real serious candidate that we would normally think of. Does that make sense?
First of all, I hope that at some point, maybe within the next 90 days, that you will invite me back so that I can really share with you because it's like 2:00 in the morning here. I'm not sleepy. I'm good to go, because when you're in a war and you're a man of color, you realize the war goes on 24/7. So the clock isn't an issue. It's 0200 hours right now. So I'm good with that. Now, in terms of what you're sharing with me that Nellie Fuller said, I can understand him saying that because there probably are a number of melanin recessive humans of marginal way. But I would also say to you that I think a lot of people are unaware that the Ku Klux Klan used to have meetings in the White House, number one. And number two, there is a brother named Jesse Holland that wrote a book, and the title of the book is called The Invisibles, The Untold Story of African-American Slaves in the White House. But he also points out the number of things that occurred in the White House, like the Klan meetings that used to take place in the White House. And I think the showing of, what's the name of the movie that they did, Birth of a Nation? And I forgot the guy's name that actually wrote the book. The guy that wrote the book, I think he was probably a Klan, a member of the Klan that wrote the book, and they made the movie Birth of a Nation. And it was, you know Birth of a Nation, the old classic racist movie about
Absolutely.
How black people were and white. So I'm saying to you, the White House has a history that's already super, super jacked up in the first place. And most people are oblivious to that. And not too far from the White House, probably about 8 to 9 kilometers, about 3 to 5 miles from the White House, was an area called Buzzard Point, where they used to go out and damn near do gator hunting by like putting a little small laceration on a baby and putting the baby on the oars to try to actually get the baby, damn near caught in the mouth of a gator so that the white boys could actually get the gator's hide to go and sell the gator's hide. So the White House and Washington, D.C. has a really, really jacked up history, like the maids and the black women that used to take care of everybody in Washington, D.C. So as far as if anything is left in the White House, it's probably, I wrote a blog with Barack just before he got in the White House about the skunk, the smell, the stench that was in the White House before he came, and how some of that stench would get on him for being in there. So if anything, they left a perfume, they left an aroma in the White House because they brought the stability of an anchored family, people of color. There was no chaos around the Obama administration, no womanizing going on, no unique shenanigans going on with the government, no shady under-the-cover deals, anything like that. Obama has done a tremendous amount, even though he did not do all the things that brown and black people wanted him to do in America, because as I told you before, America is a corporation. She is a business entity. She is an international global conglomerate of business enterprises combined to work out of the rubric of the United States to do any number of business ventures throughout the globe to earn money for her constituents based upon the stock. So as far as there being a smell or something going on in the White House because they live there, if anything, there are now roses in the White House versus the Venus flytraps that were there prior to Obama moving in. And I'm not saying that what Nellie Fuller said is wrong. I'm simply saying to you that I know he made that statement to illustrate the mentality of how a lot of people view that. And as a matter of fact, I think that's what allowed Trump to get the kind of electoral college count that he got, because white America so incensed and so angry that there was a black or a melanin-dominant couple that resided at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that did not create any dirt that the media could seize upon and defame and or malign the presidency. And if you remember, just before they moved in, I don't know if it was Newsweek or it was one of those, it probably was a Newsweek, it's that classic, it's one of those, New York Times maybe. I remember looking at the cover of one of those magazines, and Michelle and Barack were on the cover of the magazine giving each other a pound, and she was dressed up like somebody that had an AR-15, and she had on army boots, and she had on a set of fatigues like they were about to go to war, and I think she probably had a big afro. Point being, they were talking about the kind of militancy that was coming into the White House, and this man has been a very gentle president in terms of the kinds of things. Now, I don't want to talk about the drone technology that began to do a number more things on the planet during his administration. But to suggest that, not, again, I'll be very clear, I'm not saying that Nellie was literally talking about Michelle and Barack. He was talking about the kind of mentality of some people that talked about the White House was probably tarnished because of who lived there. And Trump just prostituted the hell out of change by talking about Make America Great Again. He just prostituted the term when Barack talked about change. And there will be some change. And one of those changes will be when the sun pops on the horizon on the East Coast in about 4 hours in the U.S. of A., it's going to be a lot of people awakening, and I guarantee you they're going to ask themselves that classic question that most brown and black people ask them, like, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? Because I'm not going to bed with no prayers. I'm not going to bed with no real, like, oh, God, what are we going to do? I know how we got in this situation. I understand how we got in this situation. And for my pro-black people, I understand how we got in this situation. And I'm not disturbed by it. I dislike it. But it's going to force people to acknowledge the world that we live in.
I hope so. I desperately hope so. I also wanted to make sure I asked and encouraged listeners, because it is late for Dr. Rossayon. I want to respect, you know, he is a husband and a father, so we don't want to have him up.
Listen up, hold up. I don't like that word. It has to do with cultivating stuff on the lawn and plants in the whole 9 yards. I dislike that word, husband. And if we want to phase out, we can phase out. But trust me, I told you, the war goes on 24/7. And as we phase out this particular part of the show, or whenever we do it again, I'm game. I told you, anytime you're talking about the plight of melanin-dominant people anywhere on the planet, I'm 100% dedicated to do whatever is necessary to let you know I'm in this game.
Oh, okay. Well, I did have two more questions I wanted to get in. I just wanted to recognize and appreciate you hanging in with us. They are already kind of given the narrative to try to explain what happened, as opposed to just referencing Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. The Wall Street Journal, their report from this evening, rural votes fuel Trump. Clinton loses urban grip. And they write, exit polls and early vote counts suggested that Mrs. Clinton failed to match President Barack Obama's strong showing among African-American voters, with negative effects in several big industrialized states. Philadelphia, a vote producing machine for Democrats, was yielding 46,000 fewer votes for Mrs. Clinton than it had for the president in 2012. One reason the race was close in Pennsylvania. Mrs. Clinton was sure to wind up well behind Mr. Obama's mark in Detroit, with the Democratic vote advantage in the urban county on track to be cut by half. What is your speculation and or response to any theory that a part of why Trump got the White House is because black people did not vote? We were lazy and we didn't come out like we did for President Obama.
Pause. The bottom line, brother, there is a word called dichotomy, and it has to do with Mnemonician psychology. It means putting people in groups of right and wrong. Right now, they're setting the stage for us to engage in this nonsensical conversation to suggest that somehow black people were not as involved in this election as they were during the Obama campaigns, and therefore Trump got in the White House. You see, that's a classic dump. They are dumping on us what you've already pointed out. White women voted for this man. You follow me? So rather than them acknowledging that there were a number of Caucasian women that voted for this man, and probably a number of educated Caucasian men, they want to create the dichotomy and suggest that had black folks supported Hillary the way that they supported Barack Obama, then the Electoral College would not look the way it looks in terms of the actual count. That's poppycock. That's bull. That's crap. You follow me? And if they create that kind of pseudo-argument, we'll find ourselves intellectualizing about who voted for whom. And I'll tell you what I did. I actually took a picture of my ballot. I didn't take a picture of me in it, but I took a picture of my ballot so that I could, the little dot that you had to circle, more like an oval, of who I voted for. And because I told you I had a general concern about when I slid the piece of paper into the machine, I faded into the machine, it didn't show me on the machine who I voted for. I had already taken a picture of it. And I only mentioned that to you to say that that's my documentation, because I kind of knew in the back of my head, I didn't want to put the words on it at the time. I'll use this term, I rarely use it, but I'm just going to use it to illustrate the point. I said, this shit's about to go down, and I want to be on record as at least participating in the process in an upright manner. I also think that there were a number of millennials, probably mostly Caucasian, young Caucasians, that think they're educated, that also, you might say, they voted in an alternative camp, or they did not come out to vote because they didn't like choosing between what you might call, I think I refer to one as a butterfly knife and one as a katana sword. Because there are a lot of people that did not trust Hillary. And in the back of my mind, I was playing this hopeful tape. I was saying, it would be great if she became the president, not so much because she's a woman. It would be great because she could probably take the opportunity to try to right a lot of the wrongs that her husband had done, because he's responsible for the incredible rise in the industrial prison complex and sending so many jobs outside of U.S. of A. I think it's pronounced NAFTA, all right? And I was operating out. It really would be great if she got in there, and then she could have an opportunity to basically set the stage about the way her husband disrespected Sister Souljah, you know, but that didn't happen, which means the universe has something else in mind. I will say this to you. When people throw a bunch of crap on you, not pigeon crap, all right, that you can just flick off if it gets on your coat, all right, or chicken crap that you can flick off of if it gets on your garments, when people throw straight-up bull crap on you, all right, and dung from cows on you, you have to acknowledge that there is some shit on you. You can't pretend that it's not on you. And America just threw on all of us, the country that we live in, a reality check. And we are in a S-H-I-T-T-Y situation. And because we're in this situation, we're going to be forced to act. We're going to be forced to acknowledge that somebody threw some crap on us. We're going to be forced to do something, though we may not do what a lot of us would like to see done, but we're going to be forced to do something. And, brother, you ask any questions you want to ask or share any narrative that you want to share, because you can see I'm not sleepy at all.
Right on. What do you think, then? A lot of Hillary Clinton's campaign seemed to focus on showcasing a lot of black people. She had her Mothers of the Movement campaign with various individuals, family member, moms of black people who had been either shot and killed by police or died in some manner. She had them at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. She had LeBron James come out and endorse.
Pause. Let me tell you. I personally had a problem with the way these people were showcased. Mm-hmm. I had just as much of a problem, or well, I had more of a problem with how those people were showcased than I did with Don King standing up using the N-word around Donald Trump.
I have more of a problem with how those people were showcased than I did with, what's her name, Omarosa, the lady that's one of the black woman that used to be on Donald Trump's television show, because you know her name. Is her name Omarosa?
I believe so.
Okay, because she was a very, very outspoken advocate for Trump. So what I'm getting, I have more of a problem with her, in my personal opinion, I don't want to say exploit, but taking being an opportunist. It's like, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get brown and black people to vote for me. I also had a problem with the way they solicited money on the Internet. It's like you couldn't even go in and say that you were doing A without finding yourself on the second, third page, either donating money or finding yourself unable to get out of that loop of how not to donate money, because they don't need my money. They already owe my people buku money. You follow me? The fact that I gave you my vote and recommended that other people vote for you, that's my work in the equation. So in terms of them pointing out what black people didn't do, I think that's a bunch of crap. I think that's a way to create a false dialogue among us as a people, so we are intellectualized about, well, we should have done this or we could have done that. I'll come back to you what you've already said. I think Caucasian women did not come out the way they should come out. I don't think they stood firm enough to say this and that about Trump, because the kind of language that this man used, I had a student to mention in my human sexuality class. You remember when Donald Trump used the kitty cat word that we referred to a cat? About, he said, you go up and grab the woman by her vagina. You just go up and grab him by it, or you put some gum in your mouth and just go up and kiss him. When he said that, one of my students mentioned in my human sexuality class, she happened to have been a Caucasian girl, and I said to her, if I came into class and I'm teaching the class, and if I said, just think about a man that's trying to become your president saying, hey, you just go up and grab him by the pee, you follow me? If I say that in class, some of you all will find it offensive. And I'm the teacher teaching human sexuality. I'm not even able to use it as an example. That's how offensive the language is. But here you guys are right now exploring his candidacy for president. And the way things are looking now, it looks like he's going to win the damn Oval Office. Because Hillary's people said she wasn't going to speak tonight. She's going to wait till tomorrow. I think two things are going on. She's probably hurt, a little confused, and or clearly embarrassed. And two, they don't know what to say yet, so they're going to come up with some kind of intellectual commentary about what to say. But if you look at the U.S. of A, the map, I don't think she won any more than about 12 states at the max. And all these other states, Trump won, or they were questionable states that could fall by the wayside. So when you look at that, they can say what they want to say about more people living in certain states and certain cities, but the Electoral College is what determines who gets into the Oval Office. This man, 80% of the U.S. looks like it's red, or at least 75%. You follow me? And maybe about 18 to 20% looks like it's blue. And then there are the other states that look like they're yellow. And they're the toss-ups that Trump is kind of in the lead. They say too close to call. So I'm saying to you, some black people, we make up less than about 38% of the U.S. population. You follow? I think Latinos have the lead on us by maybe about 42% of the U.S. population. So they can't put this on black folk. These Caucasian people are the ones that gave this man the leverage to move into it. I'm not embarrassed. It's just that it's kind of perplexing. My only concern is his vice president is smart and shrewd as hell. He's smart and shrewd as hell. And Trump is smart enough to know that if he has to do a number of things, he can actually, ironically, do the things and be the mouthpiece of what a president supposedly, you know, like the figurehead of the president. And I think other people around him will probably be making any number of decisions to put things in place for him to help him understand as he pulls together his cabinet. I'm just concerned about who this guy might wind up putting on the bench of Supreme Court justices. That's my genuine concern. I'm not worried about it, but it's a genuine concern that I have.
I vote Wisconsin's Sheriff Clark for Attorney General if I can make one cabinet selection. I did want to share really quick before I got my other question in, just filling in a few little tidbits as we've gone along. Thomas Dixon, that is the author of The Klansman, the book that was adapted to Birth of a Nation, which was a film in 2015. The New Yorker is the publication that had the fist bump with President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama back some years ago, way, way back when he first got in the White House, very controversial. But my question was going to be that I think...
Hey, Gus, can you remember the question? Did you say Thomas Dixon? You're talking about the birth of the nation, the one that we just saw, the recent one, you're talking about the original one?
The original.
Really?
Correct, Thomas Dixon.
The original book, Birth of a Nation, that's who wrote it?
Well, the film is based on a book that is not called Birth of a Nation. It's called
exactly.
The Klansman, and Thomas Dixon
exactly.
wrote that. And then Griffith, he adapted it to the film in 1915.
Okay, I got you. Okay, cool. Now, okay, I'm clear. Now, go ahead, please. Hope you didn't forget your question.
I got it. Okay, so... Hillary Clinton and her campaign, she did a lot of showcasing of black people, which you commented on. But what I was going to say is, do you think it's possible? And she even used the term, I think, institutional racism during one of the live debates. The question I was going to ask is, do you think that it's possible that that hurt her amongst many white voters who did not want to vote for someone who is talking about racism and associating and showcasing black people in that manner? Like, she cares about even giving the pretense that she cares about black people. Do you think that could have hurt her among white voters?
You know, okay. No, I really don't think that could have hurt her among white voters, because I think that, first of all, the answer was no, I don't think that could have hurt her among white voters, number one. What I think hurt her was the fact that, A, she's a woman.
Oh, it's all done. He has got 276, okay. President-elect Donald Trump. I'm sorry. All done. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. All right. So I think, and keep in mind, you're saying it's all done. CNN still has 257 and 215. They say it's 257 electoral votes for Trump and 215 for Hillary. So that tells you where their ambivalence lies. I don't know which station you got that from, but... We're talking about it, but that brings me back to Dr. Welsing, because I remember when you first reminded me that Dr. Welsing, she made this prediction. You follow me? And this is one of her prophecies that I would rather had not come to fruition, but when you look at it, like I said to you before, sometimes the Great Spirit, remember when I told you when people cross over to have power, they can do more on the other side than they can on this side? Remember we talked about that?
Absolutely.
You see, something like this forces people to say, look, we know Trump ain't got no interpersonal skills. Trump has the general kind of, let me kind of plug into my metadata analysis now. I have to be mindful of how you use certain things now that he's the president, because trust me, they can pull up all kinds of stuff on you when they move to that level of executive power. The bottom line is this, brother. We would put into that kind of global position of power on the planet, as we embrace the 21st century and all the things we have now about technology and the resources being put together for our Mars program, someone like him, we better remember what Dr. Welsing said about fascism. We better remember what happened to the Japanese when they came up with all these encampments during World War II. We better remember Katrina. We better remember how our people wound up being classified as, what was the term, when a person like...
refugees.
When you became exactly. We better remember things like that. We better remember some of the things that have consistently happened in Haiti, that things like that can happen in the U.S. of A. Because we don't understand the power of technology today. Back to your statement. Do you think it may have hurt her because she made a reference to institutional racism? I'm telling you, the fact that she is a woman, the fact that America is so incensed with the fact that they had the first family being people of color, I think those were the major factors. And I also think that politics in America has taken on a whole new spin. Trump has pointed out that politics in America of yesterday is no more. There's a new politics in America. And that new politics in America is literally polarizing people consistently with paranoia, generalized fear, and amplifying ignorance. Because the average person doesn't like to think. They like for other people to think for them.
the average person doesn't even like to make decisions. They like other people to make decisions for them. That's one of the reasons why you find so many brown and black people that are fairly well educated. They will say to you in general, once they have a decent job, they'll say to you, it's in God's hands. I'm just trying to do the Lord's will. Ignoring the fact that the Great Spirit gave them free will, the ability to make decisions, act on their decisions, and honor the consequences that come with the decision that they have made. There are so many of us, rather than own up to our own decisions, we'll say, well, you know, I think God is trying to teach me something. Or there's a lesson in that for me. You know, I'm only human. We make mistakes. So when you make the same mistake over and over again, it's not called a mistake. It's called a habit. And when you have a habit, you have a condition that needs to be treated. And if you don't acknowledge that you have a condition that needs to be treated, that habit will become so habitual that it will contribute to your demise. And we're in a state right now, we have to check ourselves. And if we are incapable of checking ourselves, we should sit down and ask someone that whom we value their opinion to say, listen, I want you to be candid with me. Tell me what you think about this or that that I have done or I'm thinking about doing. And just be candid with me. A lot of us don't have those kind of friends. You feel me? I feel close enough to you to say, damn, brother, it's 2:30. I'm not able to talk to you. But I also feel comfortable enough to you to say, we're in a war. I'm not paying attention to that clock. When you're in a war, you adapt to the situation. And the war just heated up. Because some of these hillbilly rednecks, you saw the way people were knocking the crap out of people at Trump rallies. You saw the way Trump made fun of a person that had handicap or some form of cerebral palsy. You saw the way he talked about women, and these same women turned around and probably voted for it. I've heard a number of them rationalize that, well, that's not what he meant. You know, guys talk like that in the locker room. That's something that guys do. That's bull crap. But we let him. And I will say this to you. I wasn't surprised. I just didn't like the outcome. Because in the back of my mind, I was playing this tape over and over again. I was playing this tape of, like, if he does win, by the way, I have his chart. We can talk about his chart at some other time. And his chart doesn't say he's crazy. His chart says that he can be very impulsive. He can play a game on you in a heartbeat. Like Hillary's chart says that she can be secretive. She can hide a lot of stuff from you. I have both of their charts. I've had their charts, like I'm talking about astrological charts. And how they do things for a while. And but I don't want to go off on a tangent. Things always flow very fluidly, and they flow much better when you ask me a question or you share a comment, and then I comment on your comment.
My question, number one, I've seen multiple sites reporting that it is done. Donald Trump with 276 electoral votes, president-elect, and that she won 19 states, even in defeat, that she got 19 states in a losing effort. We'll have to see the final tally. My question was going to be, people will ask, you know, what does this mean? Is this a referendum on President Obama and his two terms in office? You know, how does this impact his quote-unquote legacy? What are your thoughts?
Well, you remember when Barack said, this is what Barack said. One of the things that he said was, you all need it. He said, like, don't boo, vote. He said, don't boo, vote. And he went on to explain, he was on the Time Joyner show, and he said that you guys basically underestimate this guy. He said, you don't know he's going to come and he's going to try to undo everything I've done. He said, these people will go in and they'll even dig up Michelle's garden. That's what he said. They'll dig up her garden. Point being, his language suggests that this man will be inclined to strip away anything that reminds America of the Obama legacy. It's almost like how Napoleon defaced the sculpture in Egypt. You know, they blew the nose off with cannons so that people wouldn't know that they were Africanoid or black in their features. He's going to remove anything. Like, I guess the basketball court, the hoops that Barack had placed in the White House and the little exercise area they have, Trump will probably take him down. But see, I'll say this about him. That man, his vice president is smart and shrewd. short of me saying, you know how rap artists that are they just crawl out of the woodwork and all of a sudden they get an album and it might go gold and they may only have one but they get a lot of money but it's new money. Trump has had money for a minute, even though he got it from his father and a number of things that his father did, but he still has the mentality. Like you see a lot of guys in the South, they might have like gold teeth in the mouth, or a whole grill of gold, and they go out and buy three or four Lamborghinis. He has that kind of approach to taste in terms of furnishings, you know, all the gold stuff in his house and that kind of thing, because he wanted to be royalty. He has some issues around personal security, you feel me? And that makes him a general, that makes me concerned about how he may handle things. You follow me? So, in terms of, ask me your question again, because I started off answering, but then I started thinking about some things he does. What's the crux of your question that you just asked me? Because I can see myself going off on a tangent.
With Trump winning, how does this impact the way people will think about President Obama, or people look at this as some sort of referendum on Obama's legacy, quote unquote?
Okay, so I did start off answering. So the bottom line is, he wants to erase the brother's legacy. What he wants to do is two things. A, he wants to remove everything that the Obama administration actually did to benefit the American people. He literally wants to remove that. And two, as he attempts to do that, he wants to tarnish his legacy by suggesting to you that he wasn't that bright, his decisions were not that well thought out, he didn't really understand how to handle international things because he didn't have the kind of money that he has. That's his position. You follow me? And in so doing that, he'll feed into the mindset that makes a lot of insecure white folk feel good. It's like, oh, yeah, we need it all. White guy to come in here and straighten all this stuff out, that this brother created chaos here and created chaos there and the whole nine yards. So he really wants to stain the brother. He wants to tarnish the brother. He really wants to basically create a set of memories that replaces what the Obama presidency actually stood for and actually accomplished. And trust me, they're going to use a classic military strategy in the efforts to do that. They're going to triangulate. They're going to screw up a little bit of this. They're going to screw up a little bit of that. They're going to start basically exaggerating statistics and telling you how Obamacare really wasn't helping people, how people had to pay so much more money in certain states for Obamacare. They didn't get the doctors that they wanted, and they're going to erode it away. And as they erode it away, they're going to come back and probably attempt to replace it with something. It might even be very similar, but they're not going to call it that, because that's what white folk do. They will steal your stuff, repackage your stuff, relabel your stuff, and it will still be your stuff with the exact same ingredients in it, but they'll just meter it out in different portions as they feed you another story about it. You know, it's just like when black people would invent skateboards in the late 60s into the early 70s. As soon as white folks saw people taking old roller skates and pieces of wood, making skateboards, having fun out of them, they streamlined them a little bit. They painted them a little bit. They shellacked them a little bit. They came with unique colors and designs on them. Then they sold them right back to the same thing with jeans. All the designer jeans with the holes and stuff in them look like they have bullet holes in them. Jeans that black folk would have, they worn out, they put back together. White folk made designer jeans out of them. You follow me? That's what they do. They take who we are, recycle what we've created, and give it back to us and call it something different and put it in a store that has a name or a certain neighborhood, and we go there and buy it. And we do it with glee. Now, you watch how many folk are going to tell you they're so glad they've legalized marijuana in these states now. It needs to be legal here, not just for medicinal purposes. It needs to be legal there, like I told you, the opium war. When you take away from a people a sense of identity, then you sedate the hell out of them, what do? They self-destruct.
It looks like the cannabis, in addition to the three states that I mentioned earlier, it looks like it's pretty close to passing in Maine. It might not pass in Arizona, which would be a bummer because I said it was going to pass in all five. It looks like it might not pass in Arizona, so that would be 4 out of 5. That would be Maine is pretty close too. That one is, you know, might have to watch to see how all that pans out to end things off with. just for listeners.
Let me say this. I want to say this before I forget. I have one concern. One of the main concerns that I have is this. My concern is, well, Clinton finally called to concede the election. My concern is this. I'm concerned that some of these hillbilly redneck white folk and some of these stormtrooper borderline Gestapo police may think that this gives them carte blanche to do more crap that they've been doing. I have that as a general concern, you know, just as a general concern. And that's all I wanted to say, and I hope we have an opportunity to revisit this when I can give it some deep thought and actually take the temperature of other educated people to see what they have to say about this man becoming the president. Because I know people in France right now, I'll be damned, boy, I tell you, I know they are absolutely tripping.
I'm looking at France 24, one of their major. It says, U.S. election, no announcement from Clinton until all votes are counted, says campaign chair. Trump on verge of shock election. It has a bunch of dismayed-looking white people looking at the screen in disbelief. These are French white people that are looking at the screen in disbelief.
You do know that around the world, people look at Americans collectively as being kind of dumb. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
They don't think that we're that bright. They think that we are kind of a group of people that believe and do anything. You know? We're going to have a couple of conversations about this vice president for Trump, because that is one shrewd white boy. You know? So, I'm through talking unless you have something in particular you're going to bring to my attention, brother, because
I'm
going to be tripping when they wake up.
I'm sure it will be lots to discuss over the coming days. I'm checking some of the foreign sites to see. Most of them don't have it updated to reflect the reality. President-elect Trump. I will state again, Dr. Welsing cannot stress that enough. There should be lots of folks to come out to acknowledge, recognize Dr. Welsing's prediction that this is what was going to happen a year ago. That is stunning. I am happy that's four in a row presidential elections that I have correctly predicted. Happy, I said all along, I wanted to make sure I kept my streak intact, right on. And the only reason, again, for that is just being able to have an assessment of racism, white supremacy. You should be able to make predictions about things that are going to happen based on your understanding of individuals who classify themselves as white. I think that's important. Appreciate it, Dr. Rossayon. You said you are all satisfied? Nothing else you wanted to share?
No, remember we started off? I started off acknowledging Dr. Welsing when she used the term fascism. I told you she hit it right on the head, brother. You know, and hey, look, I look forward to us having a follow-up at some point in the future, okay?
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Dr. Rossayon. His website, again, eyesofmaat.com, eyesofmaat.com. I think fitting to wrap up, we will play Dr. Welsing's segment again. We'll be here tomorrow, normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Pam will be in the building to discuss her thoughts on the election. Now that President-elect Trump has wrapped things up, we'll get some of her thoughts on that as well. Tune in tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Drop an email if you have questions, comments. If you want to share your observations, as I said, if you went out to vote or were harassed for not voting, drop us an email. We can share that on the program also. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. This is Dr. Francis Kress Welsing proving to be most accurate with her prediction. President Trump. President-elect Donald Trump, as predicted by Dr. Francis Kress Welsing last year. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
See, every single thing that we are concerned about, every single thing when you turn on the TV tomorrow morning that they will talk about, will all be related to racism, white supremacy as a system. Okay, Donald Trump. I say meet your next president. See, all kind of people from the time he started talking. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's this. Oh, he won't. all the American people won't accept some. Donald Trump has pulled the hood off of, the sheet off of, the cover off of the system of racism, white supremacy. See, he pulled it off, and he's talking with more clarity than anybody else, who all the other candidates quietly are thinking about racism, but they're not talking overtly about it. But Donald Trump is talking. So like I said, Donald Trump's Trump card is the race card in the system of racism, white supremacy. The New York Times editorial today, the Trump effect. See, this is what I'm doing with my money, buying newspapers like Dick Gregory. The Trump effect and how it spreads. It says we are on the brink, under Trump, on the brink of fascism. New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, editorial 12/10/2015. I say fascism is end-stage white supremacy. See, just like in Nazi Germany. Fascism, system of racism, white supremacy, determined to survive.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.